Good morning. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness to us, for your love for us, for your care for us that never ends, and that today is another day of your ongoing care, your ongoing nurture, your ongoing working in us to be glorified in our Lord Jesus Christ, to have him formed in us. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that the rest of the word that you give for this morning will be effective in us. We thank you that you, I can only say you love us so much. Amen. Last week, I shared with you about something concerning the Holy Spirit from John 16 and verse 8, where Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, when he's sent into the world, he's going to convict the world of sin. And we talked about that, and I shared with you a story from my childhood on how I was, as a young child, convicted of my own sin. And I went on to tell you that the work of the Holy Spirit to remind us of our own lives, that sometimes we slip and we fall back into behavior that is unrighteous, that the Holy Spirit is always there to convict us and to restore us and to bring us back to a state of righteousness and for us to end up repenting and confessing and being recovered. And that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world as well right now, but the work of the Holy Spirit in the world to convict the lost of their sin requires something, and that is that we intercede for the lost. We pray for them so that the Holy Spirit will begin to move upon them. He moves where God sends him, and where God sends him depends on how God activates the prayer of his people. You follow that? You follow that? God causes his people to pray so Holy Spirit can work. There's always this connection between us and God. Even though God is sovereign, he uses us. Today, we're going to learn some more about the Holy Spirit. Not that we don't know this, but we need to be refreshed of it and to be reminded and to enter into what value there is in our lives for another aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit. So I want to start by reading from John chapter 7 and in verse 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, which happened to be tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The only people on the face of the earth that can receive the Holy Spirit are those who believe in Jesus. Period. The people who receive the Holy Spirit are also thirsty people. There's something about the thirst and hunger for God that draws God. He's not obliged to just do anything willy-nilly without the activity he has upon our hearts. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, he said he's going to pour floods of water upon dry ground. And that is us. Now I'm going to stop and tell you a story. My own personal life. I'm going to go back 50 years, maybe a little bit longer. It's probably 1971 or 72. And Andre and I were living back in Springfield, Illinois, and we were going to Calvary Temple Church, which was a charismatic church, and people were being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was a wonderful time. And I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I also wanted to speak in tongues because I knew something. I saw something. I recognized something that spoke to me, and it was this. That people who spoke in tongues had something happening to them that people who didn't speak in tongues didn't have happening to them. It was evident. Clearly evident. It wasn't just enthusiasm. Physical enthusiasm. It was deeper than that. There was effective change that took place in those people who were speaking in tongues. And so I had prayed. People had given me all kinds of advice on how to receive the Holy Spirit. It's pretty funny, actually. And also how to speak in tongues, which in fact, there is no how to speak in tongues. There's only what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. That's how you do it. I'll get to that. So it became very clear to me that while I had been saved and I knew that my spirit was regenerated and I had been baptized, I knew that I had been joined to Christ in his death, his burial, and resurrection. There was something missing in my soul. And there was a dryness, a heaviness, a pain, a need, a whole bunch of things. And all I had ever known throughout my entire life to that time was how to live by pulling myself up by my own bootstraps. You've heard that terminology, I know. And that if you wanted to become successful, etc., you work hard, you depend upon yourself, you can't rely upon others, all that other jargon that comes out of the American philosophy of how to get ahead and how to be strong. And I had done that. And I'd come to the place where I was also tired of doing that. You ever get to that place where you're tired of doing that? Come on. Do you ever get to that place where you say, yeah, I'm tired. I'm tired of doing that. So, part of my search, even though I had believed in my heart that if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he will give it to you, because that's what Scripture says. And I took that by faith, and I believed I had received the Holy Spirit. But I wasn't speaking in tongues. Now, there's all kinds of arguments today. You know, there are still people who say tongues is of the devil. Well, I'll tell you something. Man, when I was serving the devil, he never gave me tongues. And Pentecost was not of the devil when all those people were filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues. And all the people who continue to speak in tongues throughout the world. There are more people who speak in tongues than not speak in tongues. I'm speaking of Christians. And I saw that there was some kind of a, I guess the word might be release. A release of things that feel dammed up and stopped and constricted and not flowing, and to tap into what both Joe and Brenda were talking about, there wasn't a release of this power that I felt others had in their lives. I'm not talking about power for doing things. I'm talking about power for living. There's a difference. We need both. I wanted that power release in my life. And at the expense of repeating myself, which I have shared in times past, I told the Lord I would never say another word in English until I started to speak in tongues. That's pretty drastic. And I was at a prayer meeting. It was a kind of like a Bible study prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. And I was desperate. And I had been seeking the manifestation of speaking in tongues. Not the gift of tongues of 1 Corinthians 12, but speaking in tongues, which comes automatically with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody can do that. Paul said everybody can speak in tongues. Not everybody will have a gift of tongues for the purpose of interpretation equal to prophecy. That's another subject, and there's too much confusion, but it's really very simple. Anybody baptized in the Holy Spirit can speak in tongues. So, back to where I was. The evening meeting started to wind down, and Pastor Mike Johnson had finished, and he left us to pray. And I dropped to my knees between the pews, and I literally got onto the floor because I felt I needed to humble myself before God. Just me. and to admit how much I needed his power in my life. And I felt desperate to have this manifestation. It wasn't because other people had it and I didn't. It was because other people were experiencing a real release of joy and of power and enthusiasm, and I wasn't. I was wholly jealous, let's put it that way. And I declared to God, probably one of the dumbest things I'd ever said, I'll never speak another word in English until I first speak in tongues. Well, there was no taking that back. So there I was. And when I said that, all of a sudden, up from the depths of my inner being, my belly, came a roar of God's presence, and I began to speak in another language I had never learned. And I spoke, and I spoke, and I spoke, and I spoke, and I laid there on the floor, and I just kept on going with this language, and it just kept rushing out of me, and I felt like there was a river of life that was coming up out of me. I'd never known anything like it. And it just began to refresh me, and a sense of almost cleansing and an unstoppable force began to come through me as I was speaking in tongues. And I knew I was praising God and declaring things and making statements to him and praising and all of that. I could tell it was going on, and I didn't want to stop because of what God was doing. The rivers of life were coming out in one way, not the only way, but one necessary way. And I thought people were going to look at me because I started to get loud. But I didn't want to stop, and I almost couldn't stop, and I kept praying, And I don't know if I crawled under the pews. I don't know how I got to where I was, but it seems like I got lost in his presence, and Holy Spirit was so happy in me. He didn't want me to stop, and I didn't want to stop, and I kept going, and I kept going, and I kept going, and I kept going, and I kept going. And I don't know how many people were left, but I didn't care. I was there with God, and I had this experience. And from that time until today, almost without breaks, I've been consistent to pray in the Spirit. However, Ephesians 4 tells us that we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember an old-time Pentecostal teacher said, when somebody said to him, well, if you got the Holy Spirit, how come you need to be filled again? And the old preacher says, because I leak. And we all leak. Isn't that true? We leak. And the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 2 and verse 13 said this, why have you forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out for yourselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot contain water, which is a distinct prophetic word regarding the presence of the Holy Spirit. So here's what that says to us in our present day. It says that there's a tendency to forget the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit when we go through seasons, and we start to revert back to the ways that we have functioned, the sources that we have looked to, the means that we have used in times past before we were born of the Spirit of God. And we use them to strengthen us, or deliver us, or relieve us from pressures, or give us escapes and find ways out from the trials of life, instead of going back to the fountain of living water. Years ago, I remember when our church was young and we were meeting in the synagogue here in town, I gave a teaching to the church about ministering out of empty buckets, which happens to us, where when we are brought to a situation where we need to serve somebody else and minister to them, our bucket's pretty empty. And so we try to serve, we try to move, we try to exercise a gift of the Spirit, but really we need a filling again. And our bucket was empty. And so we really didn't have anything to offer others because we needed a filling. We needed to relieve our own dryness. First things first. So, not too long ago, in the recent days, weeks, I found myself a little dry and pressured with a mounting number of things that were concerning me and affecting me. And while I have a habit of praying in the Spirit every day, I think I had stopped praying as much as I had been. I'm pretty sure of that. Normally, I leave my office and I walk here in the sanctuary and I pray in tongues for a considerable period of time. Somehow or another, that practice kind of got broken. And I have moments throughout the day where I stop and I just pray. And sometimes, without even thinking, I'm praying in the Spirit. It just becomes automatic. But didn't there are times when we kind of leave the practice and revert to an old cistern, you know, an old method, an old source of self-reliance? And it's really hard on us. And I felt that personally again. And I was dealing with a myriad of subjects that were all challenging me at the same time. And I wanted to answer them all. I wanted to find a solution, a scripture, or this, or that. But before I could do those things, I needed to get filled with the Spirit again. Because there's no point in turning to the Holy Ghost when you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. And I was aware, before I could come up with any solutions to the dilemmas, I needed to pray in tongues. Yeah, you can read the scriptures, you can quote the scriptures, and they are extremely helpful. And here's the thing, Holy Spirit will bring them to your mind, but they are never a replacement for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to release himself in us and through us. They are in addition to, and vice versa. Scriptures are in addition to the Holy Spirit. He's the author of them. But we don't choose one over the other. We choose them both. And I was missing something. And so I started to pray again. And my flesh said, that's enough. No, I had to keep going. And 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 I tell you what happens. Little by little, that river starts to come back up. And it starts to wash all the junk that's been clogging you up, threatening you, wearing you down, causing anxiety, stress. And so I just kept letting the river come. Alada, yote, pehinde, kathura. Speaking over and over and praising God constantly. And I don't care who objects to me. Certainly not the devil. It is extraordinarily valuable. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says this. He who prays in an unknown tongue builds himself up. And if anybody on the face of this earth needs to be built up, it's you and me. It's you and me. And that word edify means strengthened, built up, encouraged in God. Yeah. And I see, you know, I read stuff that comes across my desk and across the internet about people who are still struggling over speaking in tongues. And I'm thinking, if the devil could steal anything, that would be one of the things he would steal. Having experienced it, and assessing the value of it, I have chosen that it is well worth keeping on doing it. I have never decided it's not good. I've always chosen it's really good. It's always good. It's wonderfully good. Extraordinarily good. And the reason I'm sharing this with you today is because God knows you need to hear this. You know that? Some of you are dry as sandpaper. Right? You need a release of the Holy Ghost again. You need the release of the Holy Spirit. You need to praise Him in unknown languages because of limitations of your mind's ability to communicate all that there is to God. But the Holy Spirit can do it. He can pray through you, and He can intercede through you, and He can speak about things that will save you and keep you and protect you and deliver you. He can remind you of scriptures. He can release truth to you. He can bring health to you. Do you know that they've done studies on speaking in tongues and how much it improves your immune system? Scientific research has proven that. So my responsibility, my job, and my love for you this morning is to provoke you, along with the prophetic word that we got from Joe regarding the power of God. And then that was followed up with Brenda's teaching on four different powers that are at work when Jesus was raised from the dead. And those powers are at work in us when we begin to pray in tongues. And not only praying in tongues, but tongues releases more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, preparing us to serve one another. More prophetic words, more words of knowledge, more words of wisdom, more discerning of spirits. Even power gifts come through praying in tongues. Have you ever seen people who gather together to pray over somebody who's sick? What is the first thing that they start to do, charismatics? Why? They pray in tongues. Why? Because they need the power of God. Well, what about when you're alone and you need the power of God? All by yourself, dealing with things in your life. That's what God wants. He wants you to get into the habit that praying in tongues is so automatic that we don't even realize that we've started to do it. But we are doing it. And the one boast that Paul had concerning speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, praising in tongues, it's all the same, is that he said, I do it more than any of you. Hallelujah. Well, I want to compete with you, Paul. See if I can catch up, maybe pass you. Why not? I mean, if it's good for him, it ought to be good for us. He faced more things than you and I will ever face. So the first thing that we have to do is, again, because of the work of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to us, is to say, you know what, God, I've relied upon my own flesh, my own wisdom, my own strength, my own powers, my own habits, my own background, my own this, my own that, or a few other things to boost me, strengthen me, and help me get through situations. I renounce that. My first responsibility is to come to you, to thank you for who you are and for sending Holy Spirit into my life, and that I can pray now, I can praise now in an unknown language that goes far beyond the limitations of my mind and reaches the heavens and extends to realms and places and purposes and experiences that I wouldn't have been able to do without it because of the limitations of humanity. But the supernatural responses of the Holy Spirit outstrip anything that we can do in the natural. And tongues is a release for it. I don't know what else to tell you. I have no better arguments. I will not argue with you about it. I will tell you, taste and see. Taste and see. And God is good, and this is essential for your life. And a lot of the complaining or trials or issues that you're facing, you may be able to overcome them if you'd stop and start to intercede for yourself by the Holy Spirit, who in us is interceding for you. This is our first appeal in all things. Be Before, there's an old saying, before you go to the phone, go to the throne. Get the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And see what God will do. And if you don't have a need, and you don't have a problem, and you're not really stressed out that much, but a little dry and content, you need to pray in the Spirit also, just to get released and get built back up, and see how wonderful it is for you to do so. Every great move of God is by the Spirit, always by His Spirit. And while we talk and pray about corporate revival, which the church needs, this nation needs to see the church have a revival. America cannot survive without the church being revived. I don't know if you know this. I'm telling you the truth. Church has got to have its act together. It needs to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. It needs to repent of things that it's been doing. It should not be doing. It needs to repent of its laziness, its indifference, its selfishness, and its lack of love for the lost, or its obedience to the Holy Spirit, or its turning away from truth and no longer obeying Scripture. There are so many things that need to be addressed in the church, and there's only one person with the solution, and that's the Holy Spirit. And we need Him desperately, personally in our lives and corporately throughout the entire church. I'm not a doomsday preacher. I'm not telling you it's all going to go to hell. That's not my concern. My concern is that the church stand up again and do what it's been called to do, to stem the tide of evil in this world. But first and foremost, we need Him for ourselves. Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living waters. The Holy Spirit flowing through us, continually expressing Himself through us. Hallelujah. God, I need you right now because I don't know where to go and I don't know where to stop. All I need to know is we all need you more. And if you think I can make it happen, I can't. Because the issue is between you and God. It's a personal thing. I don't have a formula this morning. I don't have three steps. I don't have any recommendations except this. If you sense there's a hunger and a thirst in you, if you know you're a little dry and you have not been flowing the way you can, then you need the Holy Spirit. And the only way to have more of Him is to cry out for more of Him. And to begin again to speak in tongues and to praise Him and to sing in tongues and to do all the other wonderful things that happen as a result of yielding to the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And, now pay attention to the wording, they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Who began? They did. Who gave them the ability? Holy Spirit. What comes first? They. If you don't begin to speak, the ability doesn't work. The ability of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues depends upon you speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. It's as simple as that. Take a deep breath, saints. I'm not going to force you to do anything. Nobody's going to ask you to perform. There's no pressure. We're going to leave it with you and God to seek Him out in your own way, in your own style, with Him, to see if these things are not true in your life and whether or not you need to recommit to seasons of internal prayer with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and letting the refreshing powers of the Holy Ghost work in you. That's between you and God. And there's no embarrassment here. There's no pressure. There's just you and God again. And for Him to speak to you about your own need, He can talk to you right now. How much more we need of Him in our lives. To be built up daily, 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 constantly, hour by hour. bring healing to our minds, to eliminate the confusion and the stress, and bring the peace and the comfort and the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. So, can you think back first time you ever began to speak in tongues? I remember when Audrey began to speak in tongues, she stayed up all night. We couldn't get her to bed because of what the Holy Spirit was doing in her. Now, that's an exception, of course. You remember that, honey? If we can be extravagant, we can be extravagant with God. If He's given us this capability in the Holy Spirit, let's exercise it for our good. Father, Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing us to remembrance of this need. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for coordinating this meeting this morning with this consistency, the harmony, the synchronization of words and truth and messages that all came together. It must be on your heart to see your children edified and built up. We thank you for that. It's not just us, it's you longing for us to experience more of you in this way, in this way. So we will not neglect what you have released in us and can release through us, what you've given to us. And we come to you this morning in our own ways, individually. And if there be people this morning who are here that have never had this experience and wish to do so, we pray, God, that they will let that be known and that those among us who can pray with them will do so to help bring them to this experience. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, saints.